I'd like to ask you this morning, if you will, to please turn in your Bibles to the book of Matthew. I'd like to read from Matthew chapter 22. Matthew chapter 22. I'd like to begin reading in verse 41 and read through verse 46 before we begin to endeavor to read and study from God's holy word this morning. I would ask you to please join your hearts together with me in a moment of prayer. Our gracious Heavenly Father, we thank Thee, Lord, for the privilege that we have to come before Thy throne of grace to obtain mercy and to find grace to help in time of need. We thank Thee, Lord, for the privilege that we have of prayer, the privilege to call upon the one true and living God who is all-powerful and all-wise, the one who spoke this world into existence and the one who will bring it to a close. We're thankful that You're not only the God of heaven and earth, but we're thankful that You're our Heavenly Father and You love us with an everlasting love. We're thankful that You love us so much that You sent Your only begotten Son into the earth to save us from our sins. We're thankful that we know that heaven is real. And one day when this world is over, that all the family of God, a people so great that no man can number, out of every nation, kindred, tongue, family, and tribe, that we're all going to be home with Thee forever. We look forward to that day, but we're also thankful that while we live here in this world, that You come down and You abide with us here. We're thankful for the felt presence of Thy Holy Spirit. Pray that You would bless us this day, that we might walk with Thee and talk with Thee, that we might commune with Thee as friend with friend. Pray Thy blessings upon each individual in this congregation, that You would bless each of them. You'd bless them with their particular problems and burdens, and You know the needs of every person here, and we ask You in the name of Jesus Christ that You would intervene in behalf of each of Your children. You would bless them. There are those that are being attacked by Satan in various ways, and we ask You to intervene and deliver them from the bondage of Satan, and You'd bless them to soon be restored to fellowship with Thee and with the church. We ask You also to bless those that are lukewarm and indifferent, that You'd help them to be restored to fellowship with Thee and with Thy people. We pray again now that You bless all those who are sick and afflicted. We know that You're the great physician, that You have all power. We thank You for blessing some that have been sick, that are doing better. We are thankful that they're able to be in the house of the Lord this day. And we beg Thy blessings upon them, that You would help them all to feel stronger and to feel better. Be with all of those that are having special burdens and problems. Bless all of Thy people the world over, and help us this day as we study Thy holy word. We pray in the blessed and holy name of our elder brother, our Lord, and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Amen. Matthew chapter 22, beginning in verse 41, the Word of God says, "While the Pharisees were gathered together, Jesus asked them, saying, What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? They say unto him, The son of David. He saith unto them, How then doth David in spirit call him Lord, saying, The Lord said unto my Lord, Sit thou on my right hand, till I make thine enemies thy footstool. If David then call him Lord, how is he his son? And no man was able to answer him a word, neither durst any man from that day forth ask him any more questions." I want you to first of all notice that the last verse that I read says that no man was able to answer him a word. Jesus had asked them a question and made a statement from the Old Testament that they could not respond to and they could not answer. I want you to notice that Jesus did not say, "What think ye of me?" That was not the question. You go back to the question in verse 42, it was, "What think ye of Christ?" Now, Christ is the Messiah, and so he was asking these people, "What do you think about the Messiah, because they did not believe that the man who was speaking was the Messiah. They did not believe that Jesus was the Christ. He was just asking them about the Messiah from a theological standpoint. Whose son is Christ? What think ye of Christ? Whose son is he? Their response was, because the scripture says he's the son of David. Jesus then poses a question. If he's the son of David, then why did David call him Lord? They couldn't answer the question. And so the last verse says that no man was able to answer him a word, neither doth any man from that day forth ask him any more questions. Before Jesus asked this question, which is at the end of this chapter, earlier in this chapter, the people had continuously, the Pharisees and the Sadducees and the Herodians, had been continuously asking Jesus questions, trying to trick him as a man, trying to prove and trying to show that he was not the Christ. So they kept asking him questions. Back up in your Bibles to verse 17 of Matthew 22 and listen to some of the questions that they had asked Jesus. And by the way, Jesus answered every one of their questions to their satisfaction, or at least to such an extent they didn't know what else to say. They asked a question in verse 17. Tell us therefore, what thinkest thou? Is it lawful to give tribute unto Caesar or not? What were they trying to do? They were trying to get him to say, don't give tribute to Caesar, so that they could then put him in jail for revolting against Caesar. But his answer was such, they could not do that, and he said, render unto Caesar the things that are Caesar's, and render unto God the things that are God's. That silenced them right there. They didn't know what else to say. So they asked another question. You come down to verse 28. Therefore, in the resurrection, they gave an analogy the earlier verses. Says there was a man that had seven brothers, and the first one married a wife, and when he died, then she married the second one, and then when he died, she married the third one, right on down to the seventh brother. And verse 28, they asked him a question. They said, therefore, in the resurrection, and these are the Sadducees that are asking him this question. The Sadducees do not believe in the resurrection, so they were trying to trick him. They said, now, in the resurrection, whose wife is she going to be? Therefore, in the resurrection, whose wife shall she be of the seven? For they all had her. And you remember with Jesus' response to that question. Then you come down in verse 36 to a third question that he was asked. Master, which is the great commandment in the law? Again, they were trying to get him to say one commandment was greater than another. They were trying to trick Christ, and they kept on asking him questions. Does everybody understand that in this chapter, Jesus has been asked questions over and over, and Jesus answered every question and confounded them so that they could not do or say anything to what he had said. And then finally, after they have asked all their questions, then Jesus asked them one question. What think ye of Christ? What do you think of Christ? Whose son is he? And they could not answer his question. And then the scripture says, and they didn't ask him any more questions. But the question that's on my heart this morning is the question that Jesus asked these Pharisees and Sadducees when he said, what think ye of Christ? And my question to you is, what do you think of Christ? Brother Ken Sylvester, can you tell me what I'm thinking right now? Can you read my mind? Okay. All right. We can't read and tell what other people are thinking, can we? However, even though you can't look at me and tell what I'm thinking, you can look at my life and you can tell a lot about what's going on in my mind. You cannot tell what a person is thinking by what they say always that they're thinking. I can tell you that I'm thinking anything, but my actions may disprove what I say with my mouth. And so it is that we look at people's lives, and that's the way we can tell what they think of Christ. Did you know that what you think of Christ, it's written all over your life? If you really love Christ, and if you really highly esteem Him, if you really believe that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, if you love Jesus with all of your heart, it'll show in your life. Now, you can say that you love Him, and you can say that you believe He's the Christ, and you can say anything you want to about what you think, but your actions sometimes betray what you say. What do we think of Christ? Who is Christ? What do you really think about Christ? How do you feel toward Christ? How important is Christ to you? How important is Jesus to you?
Jesus is God's Son.
Okay, this sister says that Jesus is God's Son. Now, let's take, for example, let's take what's some testimony in the Word of God that we have about who Jesus is. What think ye of Christ? Sister has said, He's the Son of God. Now, is that a true statement? Indeed it is. Because God the Father Himself testified from heaven on at least two occasions in the Scriptures at His baptism. at His baptism, and again on the Mount of Transfiguration, you remember that God the Father spoke from heaven and says, "This is my beloved Son in whom I am well pleased." That's the testimony of God the Father. God testified Jesus is the Son of God. So that's a true testimony. Here's that Jesus is the Son of God. Jesus, brethren, is the Son of God. The devil even had thoughts about Jesus, didn't he? Did the devil say some things about Jesus? Turn in your Bibles. Turn to Luke chapter 4 just a moment. Luke chapter 4. We've already mentioned that the Scripture says that Jesus is the Son of God. And I don't think that there is anything more important to declare than that Jesus is the Son of God. There are a lot of things that probably are of equal importance. And the question that we're thinking about is, what think ye of Christ? And the question went further, and whose son is He? See, that's what this sister answered. She answered the second part of the question, which is, what think ye of Christ? Whose son is He? And she says, and the Father say, He is the Son of God. He is the Son of God. Now in Luke chapter 4, listen in Luke chapter 4, look at verses 33 and 34. Luke 4, verse 33, here's what the devil said about Jesus. Luke chapter 4, verses 33 and 34. And in the synagogue there was a man which had a spirit of an unclean devil, and cried out with a loud voice, saying, Let us alone. What have we to do with thee, thou Jesus of Nazareth? Art thou come to destroy us? I know thee who thou art, the Holy One of God. Now that's what even the devil said. The devil even knew who Jesus was. The devil says He is the Holy One of God. Who did Peter say that He was? We've already looked at two testimonies. One is that the Father says, This is my beloved Son. The devil says that Jesus is the Holy One of God. Now let's see in Matthew chapter 16 who Peter says that Jesus is. Were there a lot of different opinions about who Jesus was? Were there a lot of different opinions in the days of Christ about who Jesus really was? There were numerous opinions about who He was. And I want to ask you another question. Are there differences of opinion today about who Jesus is today?
Yes, sir.
Brethren, even among so-called Christianity today, there are numerous opinions about answering this question, What do you think of Jesus? And there are those who believe in a little weak Jesus, a little Jesus that wants to do all kinds of things if you'll just let Him. I'll tell you, that is not the Jesus of the Bible. It is disturbing when so many so-called ministers of the gospel of Jesus Christ are standing and proclaiming that Jesus wants to save you, but He can't unless you'll let Him. And saying that Jesus died for all the sins of all the people in the world. Listen, brethren, if Jesus died for all the sins of all the people in the world, then everybody will be in heaven forever. Because those that Jesus died for, He paid for their sins, and they are completely saved 100%. Jesus is not somebody that is frustrated because He died for you and now you won't do what He is asking you to do. Jesus is not some weakling. What do you think about Jesus? Now I know theologically what you say. I know that religiously what you say. But my question is, what are we saying by the way we're living? Do you really believe that Jesus is the sovereign God? You believe, as the devil said, which is a true statement, He's the Holy One of God. Do you believe what the Father said, that He is the only begotten Son of God? Do you believe what Peter said? Look now at Matthew chapter 16, beginning in verse 13, there were differences of opinion. Matthew 16, beginning in verse 13, the Scripture says, when Jesus came into the coast of Caesarea Philippi, He asked His disciples, saying, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? Now this question is similar, though quite a bit different, than the question that we began with in Matthew 22. But in this question, Jesus says to His disciples, whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And they said, some say that Thou art John the Baptist. Now was there a sense in which He was John the Baptist? He was, in a sense, and you'll see this later. Some say that Thou art John the Baptist. Some Elias, and others Jeremias or one of the prophets. Was He a prophet? Was Jesus a prophet? He saith unto them, but whom say ye that I am? In other words, brethren, Jesus has first said, who do men say that I am? And just like today, we know that men say a lot of different things about Jesus. And we, with our mouth, we might say something completely different than other people say about Jesus. We might say, oh, I don't believe in a weak Jesus. I believe in a sovereign Jesus. I believe in a holy Jesus. I believe in an all-powerful Jesus. But then we live like we believe in a little weak Jesus. With our mouth, we say that we believe in the sovereign Jesus, but with the actions of our lives, we prove we don't believe in what we say we believe about Jesus. It's important, brethren, that the actions of our lives show that we believe what the truth is about Jesus. That He is God manifest in the flesh. After He said, whom do men say that I am? He pinpointed and said, but whom say ye that I am? And the Scripture says, and in verse 16, and Simon Peter answered and said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. And Jesus answered and said unto him, blessed art thou, Simon Barjona, for flesh and blood hath not revealed it unto thee, but my Father which is in heaven. Now I want to ask you this question. At this point in the life of Peter, was he living like he believed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God? Was Peter living that way right here? Yes, he was. Right here he was. And a great portion of his life, he did live like he believed that Jesus was the Christ, the Son of the living God. But when his life got in danger toward the end of the ministry of Christ, when he saw some things happening that he could not figure how that also was true while he was being taken by the soldiers, he then began to doubt the truth that he had stood for, the truth that he had preached, and the truth that he had lived by, he began to doubt the power of Jesus Christ. And he began to fear men more than he feared God. And then what did he do? He denied even knowing Jesus Christ. Children of God, for a while, can, by their actions, they can testify that they believe, not just with the words of their mouth now, but by their words and by their actions, they can testify and they can show that they are believing that Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God, that He is God manifest in the flesh, that He is my Savior, like Isaiah said. His name shall be called Wonderful. Is Jesus wonderful to you? If I were to ask you this morning to raise your hand if you believe that Jesus is wonderful, I think probably most everyone here would raise their hand and say, I believe that Jesus is wonderful. My question is, do your actions show that you believe that Jesus is wonderful? Is your life showing that you really believe that He is wonderful? Isaiah said His name shall be called Wonderful Counselor, the Mighty God, the Everlasting Father, the Prince of Peace. Do you believe that that is our Lord Jesus Christ, that He is all of those things and many more things? Do you remember what John said about Jesus, or John recorded that Jesus said about Himself? In the book of Revelation, the Word of God says that Jesus says, I am the Alpha and Omega, the beginning and the ending, the first and the last. Do you believe that is who Jesus is? What think ye of Christ? Do you believe that He is everything? Do you believe that He started this world? Do you believe He began this world? Do you believe He's the one that's going to bring it to a close? Do you believe that about Jesus? Well, now, if you believe that He started the world and created the earth and the heavens, and you believe that only Jesus is going to bring it to a close, then don't you believe that Jesus can take care of every problem you have in your life today? You see, if we say that we believe that Jesus is the first and the last, and that He's all-powerfully created and is going to bring this world to a close, if we really believe that, though we testify with our mouth, but by our actions we are acting like we're afraid of all the things that are happening in our lives, what are we saying by our actions? We're saying we don't really believe what our mouth's saying. John declares this in the book of Revelation. He says that Jesus is the Lion of the tribe of Judah. Do you believe that He's the Lion? Do you believe He's the Lamb of God? That's what John the Baptist's testimony was. Behold, the Lamb of God, which taketh away the sin of the world. Do you believe that John the Baptist testified? Amen. What think ye of Christ? Is He the Lamb of God? Is He the Lamb of God?
Yes.
Is He the Lion of the tribe of Judah?
Yes,
He's both, isn't He? He's the Lamb and He's the Lion.
He's our Savior and our brother.
Thank you. He's our Savior. He's our Savior. You know, as I began to go through and just think about what think ye of Christ, and I thought about, well, now, you know, He's my elder brother. He's a friend that sticketh closer than a brother. There have been some nights this past week that during the middle of the night, as I could not sleep, I have laid there in bed and I've just thought how thankful I am that I have a friend that sits up with me all night. How thankful I am I have a friend that is able to take my burdens. How thankful I am that I have a friend who can comfort my soul. How thankful I am that I have a friend that I can take all of my burdens to and leave them there. Aren't you glad that you have a friend like Jesus? Aren't you glad that you have a Savior like Jesus? If I were to tell you I'm going to save you, Brother Donald, if your salvation eternally is dependent on me, you'll go to hell. Because I can't save you. I can't even save myself. I'm happy to tell you, we have a Savior and His name is Jesus. And He has saved His people from their sins. He accomplished what He came to do. And we have a Savior that is never going to lose even one of those that He died for. That's a wonderful blessing to believe in that Savior. The real Savior, the true Savior.
He saved me. That's the last.
He saved his people from their sins. Jesus is a Savior. What else can you say about Jesus besides he's a friend? Well, the Apostle John writes these words that Jesus says. Jesus says about himself, Jesus says, I am the bread of life. Have you ever tasted the bread of life? Have you eaten that bread? He says, I am the bread of life. He says, I am the living water. He says, the Scripture says that He is the tree of life. Have you ever drank that living water? Sometimes we sing that song, Higher Ground. I'm living on a mountain. I'm drinking from a fountain that never shall run dry. Who is that fountain? That pure river of water of life that proceeds from the throne of God. Jesus says, I am the one that can give you that living water. Jesus. And Jesus alone can feed your soul. He's everything. What is He in the church? What is Jesus in the church?
He's leading us the way.
Okay, let's talk about that. We've had 3 or 4 different answers. What is He in the church? Brother Richard said He's the head of the church. Let me tell you, don't ever forget that. Yeah. Jesus is the head of the church.
He's leading us.
Not any man, not any group of men, not the pastor, not a board of deacons, not some rich, influential people, but the head of the church is Jesus Christ.
Amen.
What think ye of Christ? Do you believe He's the head of the church? If you believe He's the head of the church, you have to follow what He says.
Amen.
You can't follow your own thinking, your own feelings, your own desires, or your own beliefs. You have to follow the Word of God. I might want to sometimes do things different, but the head, if I believe He's the head of the church, and the head has told me what to do in His Word, we have to follow His Word in the church because He is the head of the church. Jesus is the head of the church. He's the foundation of the church. He says, upon this rock, I will build my church. He's the builder of the church. The sister says, He's the leader of the church. He's the great shepherd. He leads His sheep. He's everything. Jesus is everything we need as the church. He's the protector of the church. He's the one who bought the church. He redeemed it with His own blood. What do you think of Christ? Do you believe all of these things that I've mentioned about Jesus? Do you believe all of these things? And my question, more importantly, is more important than you standing up and saying, oh, I believe those things.
And more.
More important than saying that. More important than saying that is, by your actions, who do you say Jesus is?
He's my Savior. He's my God.
I believe you, sister.
He's
I believe you.
He's the Son of God. And everything He is
100%. Yes, He is. Everything He is 100%. That's exactly right. He is, brethren. He is. You know, I know some people get upset about the elderly speaking up and different ones speaking up. Let me tell you something, folks. If they didn't speak up, the rocks would cry out. There's some dead rocks that don't want anybody speaking in the church. There's some people that are not interested in the Word of God. They don't love the same Jesus that you and I love, and they're disgusted with the true church. I'm telling you, brethren, the people of God need to begin to speak up, speak out, and shout about how great Jesus is. Jesus is worthy of all the praise and honor and glory we can give Him in this world and in the glory world which is to come. And John the Baptist said, and the Apostle Paul declared, that if you're going to be quiet, God will raise up him some stones somewhere else. If you're not willing to declare by your actions and your words, by the way you live, if you're not willing to show what you really think of Christ, then God will just raise up some other people. He has no problem in doing that. This church is not the livelihood of Jesus Christ. All He has to do is speak to some other people that are just as dead as they can be. All He has to do is just say, live. And it would be like the raising in Ezekiel chapter 37, where there was the valley of dry bones. And all the Jesus that I'm talking about, all He has to do is just speak the words, and that valley of dry bones becomes, the flesh begins to come on those bones, and the sinews and the
life begins to come, and He breathes into that body of people, and they become a living soul. I'm telling you, the nation of Israel, though it was dead, and though it was cut off, Jesus, the Jesus who blinded them, and the Jesus who cut them off, Jesus is going to cause them to come back into fellowship. The Jews are going to be brought back into fellowship. The Gentiles are going to be broken off. Why? Why were the Jews broken off? The Jews were broken off by Jesus because of their unbelief. And why are the Gentiles going to be broken off? They're going to be broken off because of their deadness and lukewarmness and their unbelief. Oh, we'll say with our mouths that we believe Jesus is the Christ, the Son of the living God. And we'll say with our mouths that we believe we love Him with all of our hearts. But the question is not what you say with your mouth. The question is, what are we proving by our actions that we really believe about Jesus? That's the important thing that Jesus is saying. What are you saying? What do you really say about Jesus?
I want more of Him.
Amen. You know, Pilate, you remember Pilate wondered what to do with Jesus, didn't he? What then? Here's what Pilate said. What then shall we do with this man called Jesus? You see, Pilate couldn't make up his own mind. He couldn't decide what to do. Pilate's decision about Jesus was based on what the majority of the people wanted him to do. And there are many preachers and there are many Christians today that their decisions about Jesus are going to depend on what the people want to hear. And so Pilate said, what shall we then do with Jesus? And I'm asking you this morning, what are you going to do with this Jesus? This Jesus that you say you love with all of your heart. This Jesus who is the Son of God. This Jesus who is God manifest in the flesh. Who is the head of the church, the foundation of the church. The one who bought the church. The one who builds the church. The one who has added you to the church. What are you going to do with Him now? What do you sometimes do with Him? What do you sometimes do with Jesus? What do you sometimes do with Jesus? Sometimes we what? We crucify Him afresh. You go home and read the Word of God, you'll find the Word of God makes it plain. Sometimes the people of God crucify Him afresh. There are other people that do follow Him like that woman that just kept following and pressing. And though everybody else said, get away and sit down and be quiet, like blind Bartimaeus, and they kept telling him, hush, hush, be quiet. He would not be quiet. And as he kept crying unto his Lord turned and spoke, and blind Bartimaeus was healed. And that woman that kept pressing and pressing in spite of all the crowd, and the others that opposed her, when she just touched his garment, she was healed. Yes, there's some people that think a lot about Jesus. There's some people that are going to follow Jesus no matter what. The question is, what are you? What do you think about Jesus? What are you going to do with Jesus? Go with me in closing to Acts chapter 2. In Acts chapter 2 we find the Apostle Peter. Now, I want to ask you another question. What did Peter think of Jesus? What did Peter think of Jesus? Well, in Matthew 16, what did he think of Jesus? Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Do you think he really believed that right then? Had he already proved that up until that point? Yes, he had. Jesus, listen, Peter was a fisherman. And Jesus said, follow me. And Peter left all and followed Christ. He proved his love for Jesus. He proved he believed that Jesus was the Son of God. He proved he believed that Jesus is the Christ, that he is the Messiah. But now we come to a point towards the end of Jesus' life on this earth when they asked him, you're one of his disciples, aren't you? And his answer is no, no. And he cursed and denied Christ. Then, after the resurrection of Jesus, Peter writes down that God has begotten us unto a lively hope by the resurrection of Jesus Christ. And now Peter, on the day of Pentecost, Peter begins to preach, and he preaches the power of Christ. He preaches, he says, to those people who had crucified him. He wasn't afraid of them anymore. He believed in the sovereign, risen Savior. And he says, that same Jesus whom you crucified, God hath made him both Lord and Christ. Do you believe he's the King of kings and Lord of lords today? How much do you think about Jesus? How strong is he? How powerful is he? Who is he? What think ye of Christ? What are you going to do with Christ? And so it is that when Peter spoke these words and said, that same Jesus that you have crucified, God has made him both Lord and Christ, they asked a question and they said to Peter, men and brethren, what shall we do? What are we going to do? And that's a question that we need to ask ourselves and hear God asking us. What are you going to do? What are you going to do? And when Peter was asked that question, what shall we do? Peter's response was, you know what most people say today? Oh, there's nothing to do. I'm telling you, there is something to do. Peter said, repent and be baptized in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and ye shall receive the power of the Holy Ghost. You'll receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. Look at this. Acts 2 verse 38. Then Peter said unto them, repent and be baptized every one of you in the name of Jesus Christ for the remission of sins, and you shall receive the gift of the Holy Ghost. For the promise is unto you and to your children and to all that are afar off, even as many as the Lord our God shall call. And with many other words did he testify and exhort, saying unto them, save yourselves from this untoward generation. Now, these people that were baptized that day, do you know what they then did? They continued in the apostles' doctrine. They continued in prayer. They continued as disciples of Jesus Christ. What do you think of Christ today?
There's nothing like it.
Sometimes, our minds are so filled with the things of this world that we don't even think about Jesus. Have you ever been that busy in your life? That sometimes, I thought about this last night. I thought about this a lot during the week. See, when you're going to preach something like, what do you think of Christ? Guess what you do? Oh, you think about Christ a lot. I've thought about Jesus more this week than I have in a long time. Do we need to be reminded of who Jesus is? Did Peter need to be reminded? Did Peter remind other people? Did Paul remind other people? He kept telling them over and over, you need to remember who Jesus is. And may God help us not just with the words of our mouths, but by the deeds of our lives. Let us show forth we believe the truth about who Jesus is my prayer for Christ's sake.